Welcome to the Basketball Show on RPPFM, brought to you by Frankston Basketball and the Bobcats. And we are downtown studio, of course, in Mornington, again on another cracking evening of basketball before with VJBL tonight. And of course, we have a very busy studio tonight with some big guests. We've got the roving Wilburys and the great man, and we'll have a chat with him very shortly. But of course, as always, the captain himself, Mr. Jolly.
Good evening, Bobby. Good evening, listeners.
We do need to just get rid of the captain nickname. I'm not sure.
Oh, you love it. Come on. No. Yes, you do.
You use it every second week, and I tell you, just put that on ice. But
you're the captain of the ship.
But you're right, mate. You are the godfather, Bobby. Let's not fool the listeners. They are a sophisticated audience that we have. But it is a big show, literally. We've got the return of the prodigal son, which we'll get to, and we're also introducing my headline of the week, being Ishmael Hollis, who's going to join us shortly. The new Frankston Siebel Blues importer, one of Dane Switala, the other import, is landing tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. So
you'll be out there to pick him up?
No, I think Steve Blackley's got that short straw, which is good of him. But big show, and looking forward to getting into it.
Well, as always on the Basketball Show, we do talk about what's happening around the traps, and we do talk local basketball, NBL, WNBL, and of course in the NBL there has been obviously Grand Final Series Game 1, and of course in the NBA, which we will have to have a chat with our great man himself, Mr. NBA, find out what's going on and what's actually happening in college as well.
And there's Siebel practice games starting. There's a bit of Big V news that we're going to get into, and it would be remiss of us when we enter the month of March not to talk about the NCAA. Exactly. March Madness coming later on this month, so it is a big show. But fortunately, when we do talk all things US, that we do have some Americans with us, which is fantastic. And without further ado, we are going to introduce,
of course, the roving Wilbury himself, the reigning MVP of Division 2 men's, Mr. Manny Hendricks.
How's everybody doing out there?
Welcome back, Manny.
We almost had a segment for you, mate, about you.
Really?
Where is Manny?
Wow. I'm pretty humbled by that, but it's good to be back on the radio and talk some basketball with you guys. And you know, I know there's some questions you guys have.
Well, before we jump into that, there is an air of mystique. Obviously, Manny being a founding father of the Basketball Show, it is great. He had a little bit of attitude when he came in, seeing that Mitch was sitting in his chair. But again, welcome to Mitch, our producer. We'll get to you shortly. But it's great having Manny back on board. But for our listeners, how have you been? And also, what brings you back down to Studio Mornington?
I've been pretty good. Had some time off to go visit the family back in the States. Got to see my nieces and nephews, some I haven't seen before. So it was good to spend some family time and work out and travel a little bit. And coming back to Australia is home. You know, so I feel like home is for me. It's going into my fifth year, so I'm almost a vet. So I came back to be on the radio show. Got up early because now I'm in the city, but we'll get to that later. But got up real early to get out here and get on the radio show because this is the best thing going on a Friday night.
Manny, of course, as I said, there has been the rumor mill as to where you'll end up this year. We had all different parts of the world. You're going to Europe, you're going to Asia, you're going to Canada. Now you've gone to Collingwood.
Yeah, that's how it is. Being back home, you hear about the rumors, and some people just text you random stuff. And you just kind of just wonder where you get it from, and you know, the blog spots and things like that. You know, you hear about them, people screenshot them to you, and you just have to make a comment on it and keep it pushing. There's a lot of stuff going on, but we can just clear the air in due time.
So we're down at Collingwood. Obviously, yep. It's a new program down there. They've just entered into the Big V.
Yep.
And you probably couldn't pick up a bigger coup in yourself being the reigning MVP.
Yeah, I mean, Collingwood was in the league last year. And so this year, talking to them, they kind of want to take the program to another level on and off the court. And I feel like it's a good fit for me and the attributes that I bring to a club. So we became partnership. They believe in my talents on the court, but they're more impressed with what I can do off the court as well. So,
Let's not sugarcoat it. It's a massive signing for Collingwood. I think it's a bit of a game changer for their program. Manny, as you said, reigning MVP, so has the talent on court. But where Collingwood is situated, they are in a city. Your team would be, I dare say, a number of Sudanese athletes developing, emerging multicultural area. So the off-court stuff, I think Collingwood have got a great citizen in being able to develop not only the players but also the people. So welcome back, Manny. And we are going to talk a little bit more about Manny throughout the show, so we don't want to sort of get rid of all our good material. But we do want to welcome our other guest, Ishmael Hollis of the Frankston Blues men's Siebel team, recently arrived, and Ish was my headline of the week last week, the imminent arrival. But great to have you, Ish, and for the basketball show, it's great to have you on board. No doubt throughout the year you'll be a regular guest, but welcome to the basketball show, mate.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
How do you find Australia? You played Brisbane last year. You played in the Queensland Basketball League for Ipswich. Frankston's a little bit different.
Hold on, I got to stop you there. I played for Southwest Metro. Just
well, shout out to the GM on that one.
My bad.
Good homework.
Good homework there.
But just with that, just as these guys throw me under the bus, could work. But how are you finding your introduction to Frankston basketball? And I know off court you've made a huge impact. So your teammates and things like that, just give our listeners a bit of an update on how that's all going.
Oh, it's been great. Ever since I met up with Steve at the airport, it's been a great experience. Obviously with you and the basketball office with Joe and all my teammates, Grant, they all been great to me. So for me personally, it's been one of the better experiences I've had on and off the court playing basketball. Obviously, the community is great. They have great kids in our program, and the parents are just as great. So for me, I'm just trying to do everything I can to make the community support us even more when it comes game day. So.
And you'll be able to do that through the basketball show. We do have a wide reach on the Mornington Peninsula, so we'll be making sure that everyone's across what's happening down at the House of Blues. But just for our listeners, you're 6'8", you're a guard, so you're tall, but you can also handle the ball. You had some big games last year in the QBL. Talk about so you've come out of North Georgia University. This is your second or third professional team. So from your background, what's actually got you to this point, playing for the Blues?
Yeah, definitely. It's just hard work. I had to transition myself into a guard. Because I did play post early on in college. Even at North Georgia, there were times where I would post up a smaller defender. So just hard work got me to this point. As far as playing with Frankston as at a guard position, it's going to be great having players around me like Benny and also Dan are other important than having guards like Tom Wilson on your team. It's going to make it a lot easier for me to play the guard position here at Frankston. So just hard work every day. That's all I like to think about.
Well, Ish, welcome to the basketball show, mate. We need to have a quick break. Otherwise, of course, we'll run out of time as we do every week. So we'll have a quick break and we'll keep talking to Ishmael. He's not running away anywhere today. So we'll have a chat with him. And, of course, we need to talk to the great man himself and find out where he's been. But, of course, we also have other things to talk about. The X-Files. We have the NBL, WNBL, and, of course, our own VJBL.
Now I think we're going to the to what is becoming a cult following, the Peninsula Files. Yeah, there's people. I'm telling you, there's merchandise down on Mornington Main Street.
That's what we're waiting for. That bit of news there. Thank you, Mitch.
Mitch has got rid of his voiceover.
Yeah,
the hushed tones.
So what's happening on the X-Files? Tell me.
Oh, you're the man with the axe. You grind it, but the Peninsula Files, or the X-Files.
Oh, Peninsula Files.
Yeah, Peninsula Files. I thought you'd come literally to the TV
new
series.
Name.
Haven't watched that in the last 10 years, but it is back. But I think the Peninsula File is Mr. Manny Hendricks, and I think we're going to do a bit of Q&A of the departure out of Western Port and the recruitment of Collingwood.
So Manny, have you spoken to the previous coach?
I've talked to Kenny a couple times. I've seen him.
Yep.
A couple times as well.
How's that relationship going?
It's good. You know, we both understand that basketball is a business, and it's nothing personal. So neither one of us take any moves that we make personally. We just kind of keep it pushing.
No, oh, that's good to hear. Good to hear.
Absolutely. So, so with your recruitment to Collingwood, were Western Port off the table early in the piece, or were they still trying to acquire your services right up until you signed with the All Stars?
We were in talks with Western Port and Collingwood and a couple other teams as well. You know, so it just kind of came down to what would be the best fit for me at this time. You know, and I love everything about Western Port and the opportunity that they gave me the last couple of years. But, you know, it's just time to move on.
Yeah, so look, I think it sounds like a really good move, mate, by the sounds of it, down at Collingwood, inner city where you want to be, and with a new program that's up and coming and can be easily developed to the you know, to point you can put your own spin on it and own it, which is a really important thing.
And when the All-Stars come to town, to the Steeler Dome, I dare say that is going to be an absolute sellout.
It will be.
Barn burner.
Yeah, round four. It's not like I have it circled on my calendar, but
it's round four.
But it is a fourth game of the season at the Steeler Dome, so it should be a fun one.
Yes.
Kenny might have to don playing strip. He may have to go play a coach just to lock Manny down.
Yes.
I mean, there has been, you know, some trash talk about different defenses that could be played and things of that nature. So that day will be a fun game to watch.
Yes. Well, whether they can keep up with you or not, mate, who knows? Time will tell.
Time will definitely tell.
You might see the great Bruno Man himself shirt up for a game.
Yeah, that'd be exciting.
He threatened to a couple times last year, so I wouldn't be surprised. I hear he's getting in some type of shape right now, so he might suit up.
Who knows? Yeah,
we'll have to get Kenny in the show next week just to
yes,
have his chance to respond.
Exactly right. Now, I do know over at Downtown Mornings, and they had a few problems on the weekend where we talk about referees.
Supply and demand.
Yes, yes. Well, they certainly had a supply and demand issue because there were games without referees.
Ghost referees.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Which was a very disappointing aspect to the first round of a particular team's under 12 group, but that's what sometimes happens. So it was very disappointing. And of course, with all new systems, because Frankston themselves have already been through the online scoring and so forth. Well, of course, teams were missing out of the online system. So, again...
Ghost teams.
0-2. No refs, no teams. What happens then? Of course, well, you might as well close the doors, mightn't you?
Yeah, that doesn't bode well for administering a competition.
Yes, and look, as I think we've alluded to previously, there have been a few changes down that way. So, hopefully this week, this weekend, all things will be back in order. And I do know Sam down there is doing a pretty tough job, and she's doing it as well as she can, but... They are hiring, so if anyone's looking for a position, there's a customer service position going, along with a court announcer's role for Big V, and yes, and statisticians, I believe.
Statisticians, yes, which are always a challenge to...
they're hard ones to get.
..to find. As you know, it's always possibly the last task that you think of developing statisticians, but it is important. But there's an AGM coming up at Mornington, so there might be some changes underfoot.
Always.
You'd imagine?
Could be. Who knows? I think their AGM's around the middle of the year, June, July. So
you're not involved in that this year?
No.
After you were...
No. Definitely not.
Unelected?
Unelected, thrown in the trash can with all the other unwanted pieces. So, no, definitely not.
Well, it's good that that you're back playing at Mornington, because they did put a bit of a black line against the Bobcats, didn't they?
Yes, they did, and as unfortunate as it is, yes. However, you know, again, as we've mentioned before, Bobcats are obviously trying to get across as many associations and playing in as many. We have had a fairly unfortunate incident down at Casey where one of our teams has just been stripped of all their points and won't be participating in their finals.
Wow. Due to non-compliance in age?
No. a clearance. They have inter-club clearances required, and We had a couple of boys who actually came from our Western Port program to play over at Casey, not knowing that they had previously played at Casey. And as a result, the team now has been stripped of all points and will be not participating.
What age group is that?
Under 16 C-grade boys.
Oh, that's Sheep Station. So
yes.
You being the Rupert Murdoch of the Mornington Peninsula, Bobby, I know there would have been negotiation. How did that negotiation, obviously there's been an outcome, but how was that process of trying to have Casey change their mind or
Well, it's a very interesting one, being that their bylaws state that if you are found to have not a clearance, then that is the rule. You lose your points, and it is backdated to the point to when the clearance was required. So this boy or boys hadn't had a clearance for since the start of the year, so they actually lost all their games technically. But of course, you know, common sense has got to prevail, and you know, you need to, you know, does the crime fit the punishment? And unfortunately, they just see it as a black and white scenario.
And I dare say there would be players in that team that are going to be bitterly disappointed, which is the negative of that situation.
That's right.
But also, as part of constitutions, I always like constitutions that have a clause to say, although there is points and policy around governing the association or competition, there is a clause to say, in the best interests of basketball, sometimes decisions can be overturned
yes.
in the interests of the best yes. outcome for the sport.
Unfortunately, that's not in theirs.
It's a shame.
Yes, that is very much a shame. And as has been pointed out over the last few days, that maybe some rewriting of those rules need to be taken, and a little bit further consideration taken into account that the penalty does actually fit the punishment. And in situations like this where it's unprecedented, that maybe we do a little bit more due diligence as well. Is there has been found of your mistakes, not in just sort of say from a bobcat corner, but it's all across the board. So very disappointing for those boys, obviously, that they won't be participating and had actually been playing their butts out for the last 15 weeks.
They would be very disappointed and looking forward to finals, so that's always
the
challenge.
But unfortunately that's what happens, and so we go on. Now I know Frankston are introducing a new clearance process, so hopefully we don't have those sorts of things happening down there.
No, and the clearance is more around qualifying before a player joins a team, just qualifying the strength of that player, the rationale behind that player wanting to change clubs, and that's more of an internal. So we wouldn't have an issue if a player is transferring from another association. That for us is the player's
yep.
prerogative. We're not going to enter that space, but what we would like to do is just monitor the development of teams that become overly strong by domestic kids starting to play rep. Hey, I want to play with my rep friends. That becomes a bit of a super team. And, the equality of the competition integrity is compromised, which we don't like.
Well, and unfortunately, their argument is around the whole clearance process is to financially look after the clubs so that no player leaves without any financials actually paid up. So
was that the case in this?
No.
So, and that's the thing. If you'd gone through the process to say, you know what, technically there was, it's just more of a systematic procedure that we just need to tick that box. But on the flip side of that, if they're not, if they are financial, then there's nothing stopping them from transferring.
Yes. So unfortunate, that's the way it is. And that is this week's Peninsula Files. Yeah, that's right, Mitch. Your cue. That's it. Good one.
He was looking for the voiceover one.
Yeah, I know.
Couldn't find it.
You're listening to The Basketball Show on RPPFM. We'll have another quick break. We're going to come back and we're going to quiz Ish about his how he's going to go in this year's Siebel down at Frankston and the likely fortunes of the Frankston Blues, which we can only assume must be up because they were a long way down last season. So, Siebel just around the corner, along with Big V. Obviously, we've had a chat with Manny and seen that he's now gone to the All-Stars. I might say I like the name of the All-Stars, Manny.
Yeah, it's not a bad name. You know, I like the...
The Steeler Dome or the House of Blues doesn't quite crack it for me, but I think the All-Stars is good.
Yeah, it's not bad. Having the All-Stars on your jersey isn't a bad look, so it should be interesting.
Sorry, man.
Don't like the House of Blues.
I think it's like a jazz bar.
What's wrong with that?
That means it's poetry, right?
Absolutely.
Jazz music is poetry. It's smooth.
Absolutely. That thing that comes from the soul.
From
you
the
know?
Soul.
You used to be called the Bears.
and
yeah, Frankston Bears.
And, well, Bayside, Frankston's. The Blues, as an entity, was through an amalgamation.
I think the Bears.
A joint venture between
Bears are better.
Chelsea Gulls and
Frankston
Bears. You
could be
Frankston
Bear Cave.
Hibernation, the Hibernation Chamber.
Go to the Bear Cave.
The Hibernation Chamber.
And see the Bears. There are many very good college bear teams, aren't there?
The only thing with bears, they hibernate in winter.
Well, that's what you do.
Frankston. Oh. Well, we're going to get into it. And you can throw those spears because...
they had been last season hibernating.
They were. And we're not going to hide from that.
That's what we want to hear. Yes.
No. We know last year was unacceptable from the history and the brand that Frankston does have. So for us, and I'm not going to jump into it, taking words out of Ish's mouth, but we've tooled up.
So talking Siebel, new coach down at Frankston, new players down at Frankston, and I don't know there's been a roster that's changed probably as much as the Frankston Siebel one has, because you virtually have almost a brand new playing list. You've got three, maybe four returning players, three out of a squad of 12.
Correct.
That's plus new coaching, plus obviously new import. So it is a real game changer.
It is, and there needs to be a new direction because, as you said, we're judged on wins and losses as well as development. So this year's there's a focus on development. So for Frankston, there are eight contracted athletes, and then there's four juniors that make up the 12. So players are identified in our under-20s and under-18 program. Literally the week leading up, whoever's in form, whoever's playing well in our junior program is going to get the opportunity to train with the Siebel team and also take the court and suit up on a Saturday night. But Ish is the man. He's in it.
It's time to put Ish under the grill.
Yeah. What are your thoughts of the head coach, Grant Wallace? We've had Grant on the show before, obviously, but what's your take?
I really like Coach Wallace. I feel like he lets the players play, but he also has a discipline to where all the players respect him. I actually met Coach Wallace back in the States a couple months ago, so we already had a previous relationship, and I think it can only go up from here. So
when the Frankston Blues approached you, assuming you were in Queensland at the time, what were your thoughts about the program? What did you know about the program? And then certainly what was the interest to jump on board and become a part of the Blues train?
Well, actually, NBL coach Joey Wright had mentioned the Frankston Blues to me. He knew how great Steve was as far as his GM role down there, and he knew that it would be a great situation for me.
Yep.
So I just kind of followed Joey Wright's advice because he's always steering me in the right direction. So once he told me about Frankston, I did look at the record, and I was a little kind of thrown off by it at first, but he assured me that, you know, there would be some changes and it would be going in the right direction, which I'm glad I'm here to be able to make a change happen. So,
and there's big changes going down there, not just in the on the team and so forth. You know, big expansion with the new gym coming on board, new courts, new grandstands. It's over the next 2 years probably you're going to see a brand new facility, and probably one of obviously the leading ones this side of the border as far as, you know, from a suburban point of view, with all the latest and I think probably realistically the only other ones are going to be round would be Werribee that are going to be sort of from what facility point of view of you guys. So
yeah, Dandenong have a similar, well they have
it's
a show
old,
court
it's aging.
But it is, yeah, from in terms of what we hope is the benchmark facility. We hope we can achieve that. But Ish, you talk about improvement of the team. You've been here a week now, or 6 days, arrived last Saturday. Your thoughts on the teammates and areas of improvement that probably Grant's been emphasising?
We just got to keep gelling together as a team, just find that chemistry. Everyone is going hard right now, so we just got to take it one day at a time. We can't look too far ahead. I know everyone is excited about the season, but, you know, we still have practice days in front of us, so we just got to take it one day at a time.
Teams to beat this season? I know Mount Gambier are formidable. They've obviously always had a reasonable squad together, and I'm assuming most of the same kids are all returning. Dandenong are obviously always a hometown favourite where everybody likes to beat. Who's going to be the team to beat, do you think?
I think, me personally, I just always had this mindset, we just can't beat ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think it's a particular team that we should worry about. I think we should prepare for every team the same way. We just can't go out there and beat ourselves. So every game is going to be a sign for us because, I mean, we only won 3 games last season. So every game for us is just revenge, redemption from last season. So every team, Dandenong, even when I go to Brisbane and play against the Spartans up there, you know, just because that's kind of like a return game for me going back to Brisbane. All those games are important, you know, and every game in between. So we just can't beat ourselves. I know that much.
For our listeners, they will be excited to come and watch Ish. He trained with the under-18 boys last week that train against the under-22s who are playing tonight for the VC, opportunity to play in VC. So good job, the under-22.
Where are you tonight, mate?
Frankston Blues, State Basketball Centre. 8:20.
Now, I was looking for you last week down there, but you weren't there.
No, I had to get home to bed. So, but Ish is athletic, plays above the rim, but also can shoot the ball. Very productive. So offensively, he's going to thrill the crowds, but also defensively, I think the way that observing Grant, there's going to be a real commitment to defense, which is something that we do want to stop team scoring. That's part of one part of the game. But I think defensively with Benny Lewis, Ish, guys that are long as well as athletic, I think it's an exciting time for the Blues program. And I know talking to Coach Wallace that he's excited with, you know, when you get personnel together and you start seeing it just starting to gel. And tomorrow Dane Swatella arrives, 6'9". He's a bit more of a physical presence. So I think we're putting together a jigsaw that once all the parts, you know, are placed, I think it's going to be an exciting time for the program. We've got practice games coming up. So make sure you get to our website and check that out.
We know where you won't be playing a practice game. Against Southern Penn.
Oh, look at that. that's Bobby's hobby horse ish. You'll get used to that over time. He likes to.
They used to have a men's program, mate, but now they don't. So
former club CEO and president, but yeah.
I believe Mornington are doing okay in their practice matches. So they've won a few and lost a few with their Adam Ballinger All Star under coach.
Dave Hankin.
Dave Hankin, former Blues.
Yeah.
So.
The Blues continually having an influence, which is good. But Ish, you're involved in our academy, so you've seen it from the being the professional athlete over here playing and representing the senior men's team. You're also working with our grassroots players. Have you found that? And how does that differ from what you do in the States?
Oh, it's great. I feel like the kids here, they start at an earlier age in like the Blues program. Usually in the States, you kind of do different things. You might start off at a Boys and Girls Club. You might start off at a YMCA. But the kids here, they get to start in the Frankston Blues program from when they first pick up a basketball. So that's been great. A lot of the kids are very big supporters of the Blues program, and they work really hard. So it's been a joy to work with them.
And you talk about Steve Blackley. It would be remiss of us not to talk about the great man Steve Blackley, who's been doing a lot of work. So shout out to Steve. I know he's in his car on his way to a VJBL game.
Is his son still playing for Dandenong, or has he come across to Frankston yet?
No, not as yet.
Not Cal, as yet.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Still Steve's, working on that. One.
Steve's son hasn't seen the light yet.
That.
But yeah, but we will hopefully
next season
be able to convince Cal that blue's better than green. But Steve's done a fantastic job, and I know. Steve is just quietly rapt that Ish has turned up on court, dunking on people, shooting the ball really well. So,
just out of curiosity, the tour that I see the barbecue every Saturday morning down at Frankston, is that for boys this year or girls?
Under 18 boys.
Under 18 boys. Do mm-hmm. you have to be a Blues player to go?
You do. Yep. That tour is part of the under 18 program, more of a cultural trip at the end of their junior career. So that's
I was just wondering whether Cal might fit on the end of the bench of that. That's a lure.
I don't think he needs incentives like that, but we need to get off the Dandenong talk and let's get back to the Frankston talk.
Stirring nice. The pot, Dan. Oh. He's stirring it. He's stirring the pot. No,
I just know Steve went with the girls last year, so I assume he'd go this year, and it would be handy to have good leverage for a recruit, that's all.
Oh, look, we're very confident with the under-18 group that we have this year that they're going to account themselves and equip themselves very well over in the States. But just one last one for me-ish. your career, obviously with the Blues at the moment, but what's your vision for your next career move? Obviously, we know that the C-ball is just a part of the journey. Is NBL an aspiration for you?
Yeah, that'd be great. I just want to keep on advancing if I can, just going to keep on working hard. The NBL would be a great opportunity if I was ever presented it. So I'm going to just keep working hard one day at a time and see where God takes me.
This is the Basketball Show on RPPFM, brought to you by the Frankston Basketball and the Bobcats. We need to have a quick break. We're going to come back and talk about the WNBL and, of course, the NBL Finals, which are on. There was a huge game earlier in the week between the Perth Wildcats and the New Zealand Breakers. And, of course, I'd be very interested to hear from the boys as to what they thought of the outcome for Game 2. As we already know, Nathan's picked, I think, were Wildcats?
Yeah, Wildcats, yes. Yep.
Wildcats in 2 or 3?
Let's say 3.
Okay, making it interesting in 3. We are talking NBL and we're talking WNBL. And, of course, in the NBL, well, I know the WNBL is not going to be much. Don't you look at me like that, Nathan.
No, just the results. Southeast Queensland, who were put into liquidation, may actually win the league, which is... Yeah, shows obviously getting it done on the court.
Is that story really finished, or do you reckon there's still more to be had and unfold as the season goes on?
Well, they've got 2 games to go of the season, so the season's going to be finishing almost, well, potentially this weekend.
Do you think there's anything else that can still be unravelled with Basketball Australia and the other clubs being relegated to, you know, fees not being paid? And
where are you going with this? It sounds like you've got a little bit of mail that you...
No, I'm just asking a question.
For me...
You think it's all off the table and it's all going to be...
I think this is probably going to be the biggest off-season for the WNBL in terms of the direction of the league, how they structure it. The governance is probably you're alluding to. I dare say there's going to be a significant amount of work and reform in that space. You know, for me, and we started on this, Bobby, probably 18 months, well, it would almost be 12 months, 12 months ago when the ABC announced their budget cuts that, and if, you know, we had a producer that went through the vault and actually could get us some...
Oh, there it goes.
No, I'm looking for some just some sound bites from our previous shows, because
maybe we could play back Paul Maley.
We have been
intimate decision being made on TV.
But you didn't have to be. I mean, you sort of sound like Captain Obvious that by not having a TV deal, it was going to impact the league, and with that, you're having teams that cash flow is a challenge. So, I think it's going to be a big off-season for the WNBL and Basketball Australia. Hopefully it doesn't impact the CBL, which Basketball Australia also manage. So for us and the sport...
Must be worrying signs if...
Look, from that side of things, we have great faith in the professionalism of Basketball Australia. So
NBL... Big game last week, or I should say during
Thursday
the week.
Night. Yeah.
And I thought from a playing spectacle,
Wednesday night,
sorry. It was a great game to watch. A shame about the time, but you know, that's what happens. I mean, if you're in New Zealand, I think you're watching it at 1 o'clock.
It was in Perth, almost won comfortably in the end. I think sort of halfway through that that fourth quarter, it just seemed like they were making the big plays.
Yep.
But they did go on a stretch there where I think Redditch hit a three-pointer.
Yep.
Kenny hit a three-pointer. As a team, you sort of know that if bench players are coming on hitting threes on your home, you know, on their home court.
Damian Martin, huge last quarter.
Well, he locked down Cedric Jackson, who is probably the premier point guard in the league. Yeah, Damian Martin, I'm actually getting great appreciation of his ability. And I think by watching the way Cedric Jackson has respect for Damian Martin, that's a player telling another player, you know what, I respect you because you're actually quite a good player.
You're pretty good.
Yeah, so I thought, I like Damian Martin. I think he should be in the Boomers program.
Wasn't he?
Well, he's on the periphery. They take Adam Gibson over him. And for me, Adam Gibson probably gives you the offense, but I think what the intangibles and the defensive stuff that Damian Martin brings, I think it's...
The 1%ers that sometimes make that difference.
Exactly. And these two gentlemen would know, Ish and Manny, that the little things, you know, obviously, well, contribute to the big things getting done. But they go back to New Zealand on New Zealand's home court. in front of 5,000 to 8,000 screaming New Zealand fans. So I think the result will go New Zealand's way, and then we'll be back on Sunday, which will be an absolute cracking game. Yeah.
Well, you would like to think that whoever wins gets the opportunity to win it on their own court, but obviously that ain't going to happen now with New Zealand. So if they win Saturday and go back to Perth, they've got to win at Perth. So, but yeah, from a fan's perspective, it's always nice to win in your own home. So from that point of view, Ish, have you seen much NBL? Have you followed much of it over here?
Yeah, I followed a little bit of it. I did know that Perth was playing New Zealand in the NBL Grand Final. So it's just great to see two teams compete like that for a championship. I know last year when I watched New Zealand play Cairns, I believe, in the Grand Final, I know that was a great Grand Final, and New Zealand ended up coming out with the championship. But it's just great seeing them compete like that.
You mentioned earlier you have a chat with Joey Wright from Adelaide. Mm-hmm. What's that relationship, and where does that come from?
Yeah, actually 2 years ago when I was actually graduating from college, and back in 2014, there was a worldwide invitational camp in Las Vegas, Nevada, and Joey Wright was actually my coach for it. We actually did really well. We went undefeated in our four games that we played. Joey is very high on me, so he always told me that he'd keep a lookout on me. He felt like I would turn into a great NBL player one day. So I'm just hoping to keep on working hard to make that come true.
And that can be reiterated from the off-court team. So Steve Blackley, through our process of looking for potential imports, a lot of it does come down to referencing and people who have had previous experience. And Ish may not say it, but he was very, very close to signing with the 36ers. Joey Wright was very keen on securing Ish's services, and it was out of Ish and Jerome Randall. Now, Jerome Randall is winning the MVP.
Sorry, buddy.
Unfortunately, they went for a 5'8" guard who could go off the dribble and obviously be productive, versus having that three-man swingman that obviously brings what Ish brings. So the advice from Joey was Ish won't be out of the league too long. I think he's going to be not only just a guy that signs for a team, he's going to be a great contributor to the league and his program and franchise. So for us, you know, that's exciting words. But then seeing Ish on court this week, we sort of firmly believe that what Joey's told us is bang on. So looking forward to it.
Mr. Hendricks, very quiet over there in the corner. See much of the NBL?
I followed a little bit online, mostly what the Bobcats Facebook page posts. So I keep an eye on the Facebook page. But it seems since I've been over here that the two teams have always been New Zealand and Perth.
I think it's been these two for the last 7 years.
Yeah, so... If I was a betting man in Vegas, I would say that those two teams would be in the championship, even if I didn't know, just from previous experiences. But Cedric Jackson is exciting to watch. I do like watching New Zealand play. I don't know much about Perth, but I'm picking New Zealand.
I hope New Zealand win at home. And obviously, as you said, Nate, I think it'll go back to game three. That'll be an absolute doozy in the afternoon, and
make sure you tune in.
Yeah, it'll be on Fox
Sports, and great job to Larry Kesselman and Jeremy Lohliga for getting what is going to be the biggest game in Australian basketball this year being played on TV, which hasn't happened previously. Obviously, we've had the sporadic TV deal, but you know.
Did you know that the TV deal with the NBL is a 1-year deal?
Which I thought was really smart. Yep.
So they can renegotiate next year.
Yep.
And try and get a bigger and better.
Absolutely.
Ish knows all about the coin. Yes.
Ching so, ching.
Yes, but all right. Well, as we said, obviously the NBL and the WNBL. Well, in the WNBL, I mean, Perth are probably going to clean that one up as well, and they'll end up having the men's and the women's, and there's some great alignments and synergies being done between those two programs, which is great. But boys, I'm really keen to hear in the NBA side of the world. Now, Manny, you've just come back from hometown in Utah, obviously with probably the most prominent basketball club on the planet at the moment in, well, I shouldn't say Utah being bogut, but realistically Golden State are going berserk, records left, right and centre. What's your take on all that, and how's that changing the face of the game in the NBA?
I mean, what the Golden State Warriors are doing right now is you can't explain it because it's never been seen before. They continue to be compared to the Jordan era and what the Bulls were doing, but I mean, watching them play, it's really poetry in motion. They say the Spurs offense is like that, but watching Golden State, when they go small, they play small ball and they shoot it. And you say you live and die by the three, but
boy, do they
haven't died yet. You know, they're living.
Did you find that with the All-Star game though, that and it's the international game, you know, and I think of the world champs, that it is, and I know it's very simple to say, but it's the efficiency in offense. So, you know, I'm watching the All-Star game and guys are passing the ball within 3 seconds and they're shooting a three-pointer and it's going in and they're going back to play defense. And that's becoming more and more the norm, where coaches were like previously, oh, that's a high-risk shot. Well, it's high-risk, high-reward.
Just like doing a layup.
Exactly.
Yep. And
playing to your strengths.
Playing becomes so efficient from it, almost the three-point line is just a 10-footer. It's like shooting a foul shot.
I think that what Steph Curry is doing is making the league and making guys step up to the plate to make shots more now, you know, and because he's a smaller guard, he's not big, but he can just flat out shoot the ball. And to be on the court almost 1 through 5, you got to be able to shoot the ball now at this age.
And they're doing that, like I've noticed that with the bigs. So the bigs now have just consistent range, and that's something that they're working on. As we just have a what sort of bird's that, Darren? You're a bird watcher.
It's a Rosella.
Rosella at the window saying hello.
Just chirping away, trying to get his ears on what's going on the.
And Manny's trying to get a selfie with it. Look at that.
Yeah,
I really am though.
So what do you think, Ish, in terms of you've seen a little bit of Australian basketball, how do we differ from the American style of game?
It's actually kind of similar in a way, actually, with a lot of up-tempo and having, you know, like you said, shoot a few seconds to the shot clock and get back. So, actually, I think the game is very similar. The only difference being is, you know, the NBA, they play every couple of days, while here we play like every week, you know, once a week. So, that's probably the only difference, just the everyday grind of playing games and having practice in the NBA. That's probably the only difference.
Yeah, and again, that comes back to professionalism, administration, and all the rest of that package.
Also, the Spurs have now the two oldest guys in the NBA on their roster.
I saw Andre Miller signed yesterday.
You know, they signed him. He had a buyout with the Timberwolves and signed with San Antonio, so it's good that he'll have a chance to win the title before he retired.
I was going to say, how happy would you be? You know, normally when you get traded, you go, oh, I'm going to a worse program, or you know, I'm being kicked out or whatever. Oh, gee, you're going to San Antonio. Oh, you're going to Cleveland, or you're going to Golden State.
You don't really turn those, when those teams come calling, it's not too many people to turn them down. West only took the minimum to go there, so that lets you know.
But also credit to the professionalism of the NBA athlete, where Andre Miller, 39, you know, obviously been a successful long-term NBA player, could have put the cue on the rack and said, you know what, it's now done. But no, he wants to continue his career, staying in, you know, what is good shape. Listening to the commentators yesterday, they're talking about that they've basically recruited him to guard the bigger guards of Golden State, which is interesting. But just going back to Steph Curry, how fit is Steph Curry? Like, is he one of the premier athletes on the planet? Like, he just looks like he doesn't get a sweat up, you know?
He's pretty phenomenal.
He makes it look effortlessly, you know, and that goes to, you see some of the things he does before the game and his off-season programs and his trainers and how dedicated he is to prove not only that people said it was a fluke last year that he won the MVP, you know, and I was one of them. I thought James Harden should have won the MVP last year. But, I mean, he took all that criticism, even though they won the championship. They said that was luck. You know, I think that he's channeled that better than anybody I've seen in the last – since Kobe. Yep. Since Kobe really channels things and carries a chip on his shoulder to that magnitude that – there's nothing you can do. Yep. He's going out there, and any given night, he really can score 50 or high 40s on you.
Mm. Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I think there's other players in the league that put in a lot of work just like him, especially like Damian Lillard, who I'm very high on. I just think with Steph Curry, it's his faith. that allows him to do what he's doing. A lot of people don't really understand that, but you have to believe in something. Something such as faith can carry you into another level, and that's why he's on another planet right now. Just his hard work and his faith is just making him just unbearable as far as for opposing defenses, because I mean he's just lighting it up right now, and he's giving kids all across the world a chance. You know, a lot of these young kids they don't end up being 6'5". You know, they might only end up being 6 foot, and that's where he gives all them a chance, because he's showing them that a little guy can do it. A little guy can score 46 points on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Mm. You know, so he's giving everybody a chance. But I think with his faith, it's really strong, and it's also made me want to strengthen my faith as well. So
it's interesting you say that, because I can tell you the most popular number in our Bobcats jersey is number 30.
And now that Steph Curry's blown up, Under Armour is the number one selling to kids from 9 to 12 years old.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah.
It's a
commercial world.
Mm-hmm. They've overtaken Nike in that aspect. So, I mean, I play in the Steph Curry's. They can get a little bit better and keep getting better shoes. Nike better watch out.
I like you, Steph Curry, but I'm going to keep wearing the Nikes.
I agree.
Yes. All right, boys. Unfortunately, we have to leave it there. We do need to wrap up today's show. We do want to thank Yish for coming in, and we will see you more of you, hopefully, through the season. Manny, as we always say, don't ever be a stranger. When you're in town, feel free to pop in and say g'day, because this is as much your show as it is ours, buddy.
Appreciate that.
And, of course, I won't say captain, the great man himself, Mr. Nathan Jolly.
Thank you, Bobby. And just a footnote to tonight's show, good luck to those under-22 boys, Frankston Blues team, who are defying the odds, who are almost on a Hoosier-type run, that great 1980s basketball film that you're yet to see, that tonight they play the Melbourne Tigers. So last week they achieved a win over Coburg, so they got that scalp.
Not Gazy Plant coaching him, is he?
Oh look, I guess so. They probably would need
coaches. Yeah,
they need Andrew Gaze to coach him to get over us tonight. They're gonna have to bring their big guns. But Dragon Slaying tonight. So I know they're listening, and good luck to the team. And it'd be great to get a Frankston Blues under-20 team into VC. That would be nice. It'd be the top ten teams in the state.
This is the Basketball Show, brought to you by Bobcats Basketball and Frankston Basketball. Yes, Mr.
Happy birthday to Caleb Eagles out there.
Hey, you know, Eagles.
Bobcat Eagles, happy birthday. Hope it's a good one. No, Ishmael has a shout out. Let him have it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Also, happy birthday to our Blues captain, Mike. He's turning 26 today. Yeah. So happy birthday, Mike.
Shout outs everywhere.
Happy birthday, Mike.
Happy birthday, Mike.